T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You wanna see loco? Party people!
That's us, tag team. We're back again.
That's our name.
That's us. There's a real shocking trade with the Dolphins for me, and I'm trying to parse this as it comes in, right? So I had just retweeted it too. Now I'm gonna give everybody the code word at 2 o'clock. We're about 5 minutes away from it being 2 o'clock, and I'll give you the code word at that time. And we have a loaded potato for you on this Tuesday, and obviously it's the day after a Dolphins game, so we have a lot to talk about. But Adam Schefter, you know, the NFL trade deadline is today, and Adam Schefter tweeted out just moments ago, the Rams are trading Aqib Talib, the cornerback, and a fifth-round pick to the Miami Dolphins for a future pick. So I'm trying to take it in as I read it. So Aqib Talib's 33 years old.
Yes. Still play ball now.
Excellent cornerback. I don't know where he is on the pantheon of his own career.
He's on the back end.
Right.
Yeah, he's 33.
I mean, it was kinda, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's what happens. You get older and the receivers get younger.
Yes. I realized that later in my career.
But that's an interesting. It's an interesting development to me. I mean, they're obviously, I don't know Aqib Talib's contract situation. Can you find that out, Solana?
Yeah, looking it up right now.
Because that'll provide a little bit more context to me.
Well, they have plenty of money next year.
Right, they've got plenty of money. This gives them another draft pick. Now, I don't know what they're giving up in exchange.
Yeah, that would be it. We have to find out where that draft pick is.
I hope not a lot.
That could upset you. If that's a second or third, like, come on, man.
Even knowing the number that they have, now, if they think that Aqib Talib has 4 great seasons left in him, and like you said, pair him back there with Xavier Howard, and now maybe you really got action, Jack.
On the surface, that's the thought.
Yeah.
Aqib gets, you know, he gets back right, and he's not an all-pro, but he's still a borderline pro bowler next to Xavier. You have 2 guys on the outside that can man-to-man
take
guys out of game.
You can't just pick on someone, yeah.
Yes, how we saw it yesterday. They went at Xavier a little bit. He got a pick. They end up, okay, no, let's not go at him. Let's go at Chris LeMond's. And then Juju Smith-Schuster dunks on his head and scores. Like, you saw what happened. What if Chris LeMond's was a keep to leave
right
last night?
You'd think that catch wouldn't be made.
That's the thought.
Even though LeMond's didn't have terrible coverage on that.
No, but he's Chris LeMond's.
Correct.
When I look at the game, I'm like,
Juju's
okay.
Like, when you're against Chris LeMond's, Juju's like, yeah, if you get the ball in this area, I'm going to come down with it.
Yes.
Even if I have to stand on his shoulders, I'll come down with it.
And that's what they did at halftime. They said, hey, find the matchups. That's what's going on in the second half of these games. The other team's saying, let's just find the matchups. Why are we going at their best corner? Let's go at one of these lower-end corners. Aqib is going to push that to a different person because he can be that
if
other.
If he's healthy.
Yeah, he's at it. I think he's injured right now, to be honest.
We find anything on his salary?
Yeah, he's making $11 million this year. Next year with the Dolphins, presumably, right? He'll be owed $4 million.
Oh, that's it?
Actually, I'm sorry. I'm wrong here. $4 million this year is what he's making. He's an unrestricted free agent end of this year.
That's okay, so they may not have any plans to re-sign him. Like, if he's injured now, I got to get the whole story on this.
Yeah, it just came out.
But I just saw a tweet, I believe it was from Schefter, who said that this could be a move because the Rams will want to re-sign Jalen Ramsey, so they're trying to move some cap around.
No, I get why they would do it.
Right, but if he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of this year, like, what does that matter, right? Like, why would they trade a fifth-round pick with them if they can just re-sign Ramsey at the end of the year and he won't cost them any money anyway?
Because they can get something in return. They got something in return. I'm imagining it's more than a fifth round pick that they're getting in return. They're packaging him with a fifth round pick, and they're getting something in return.
Even if it's a 4, like we get a 4, in 8 weeks, we're not going to get a four. Like, they're moving him, and they're trying to move the money. I agree with you 100%. Move the money because Jalen's going to want a big contract. That's why he was so upset in Jaguars. That's why he had these ghost back injuries, and then he gets traded, and now he's healthy as hell. Yes, this is a business venture for both teams, but if Aqib comes back, and we just said it, he's 33, he can't go back and ask for $20 million a year. You're 33 years old. If you can still play, we give you a little money, 2 years, 20, 2 years, 22, something like that. He's happy. You have a corner on the opposite side of Xavier. You have another draft pick. You're good to go. I have no problem with this.
He's
trade.
In the final season of a 6-year, $57 million deal that he signed with the Broncos. So,
he just got paid.
So, this is from a week ago on ESPN. The Rams would be open to training Tlaib as they were within the past couple of weeks when the 5-time Pro Bowler opposed the trade talks that the Rams had been having about him. Tlaib was placed on injured reserve earlier this month because of fractured ribs. He's eligible to be traded and could return later this season to help a contender. They got that part wrong when they told him what was happening. It might not be necessarily for a contender. I don't know. My guess is this has everything to do with because you're not. I'm confused by this. I got to figure this out.
They're not adding him to help the team now.
I understand that, but they can't add him next season because there's no reason that he would sign with the team next season.
Yes, an older guy. You give him a 2-year, $20 million deal.
But why wouldn't he go get that from a contender?
Because now you have to sell him on. Now, it's going to be hard. Dolphins got to sell him on it now. You're playing opposite of Xavier Howard. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a sales job, but you're older. You love Miami. I can sell this to Aqib Tlaib right now. 33 years old, I can sell the Dolphins. Rebuilding. You're going to have a top young quarterback. We have 12 draft picks this year. It's going to be a sales job
at
for Aqib.
At 33, though, why would you want to go to a rebuilding team? I think this is a salary dump by L.A., and the Dolphins getting another fifth-round draft pick because maybe the future pick that they're giving up is a 2022. Like, I believe that they're trying to have draft picks for 2020, 2021, as many as they could possibly get. I don't think they have any designs on keeping Aqib Tlaib for long-term. I don't think that's part of the equation. I think this is them purchasing a fifth-round draft pick.
Aqib comes out, he gets healthy off the ribs, and he starts balling. Like, they're seeing him in practice. They're seeing him in camp. Like, they work something out, and they say, hey, this guy is not washed at 33. He can be the opposite of Xavier. We can solidify our corners.
But you don't have to sell me on Aqib Tlaib.
Oh, I know this is a sell for Aqib. I'm just telling you from the Dolphins side of it, you have to see if he's washed or not. And if he's worth $10 million a year, you give him 10. You'd have to sell him. I'm with you. Why wouldn't Aqib go to New Orleans?
Right.
I'm with you 100%.
I mean, if you can get some money for a couple seasons anywhere and you're 33 years old, like, you want to go somewhere, I would imagine that's a winning organization. I'd have to see what the specifics are, too, because other people are saying could be a trade. They could get him and then trade him for more draft picks. But why would anybody trade more draft picks for him? He's not under contract next season. Doesn't make any sense.
To have him in your building? So to the
I guess,
same
so you get a head start.
The Saints give the Dolphins a 5 for him. And now he's in the building. Now they're rehabbing him. Now, think of Hawk. The light bulb went off. Yes, they trade him to a contender. Later this year, he's eligible to come off IR, and it's the Saints. It's the Rams. It's the Cowboys. It's one of the Eagles, one of those teams. And they say, hey, Aqib's healthy. They have him. They come and have him do a tryout, and he's looking like himself.
Right, that makes sense. Where the Dolphins flip him then to a contender.
They have 2 hours to do that because trade deadline
yeah,
is at
right.
4. I know in the NBA, I'm not sure about
right.
the NFL.
I don't know if you can make a consecutive trade.
Right. Like, are there no restrictions? Because in the NBA, if
Look
you trade
up.
For somebody, you have to wait X amount of days so you can move them again.
I think someone in the texture is pointing out, you're probably giving up a 6th or 7th round draft pick. So you're actually upgrading your draft pick, say, from a 6th round pick or a 7th round pick to another 5th round pick. You're taking on Tlaib's salary for the rest of the year.
But it's why I'm confused.
You're
with
buying.
The
you're buying.
Like,
for
why?
$4 million.
Why move somebody who can help you potentially now in your playoff run because they have championship aspirations? They're in the Super Bowl. Why move him?
Because they're trying to clear salary. They're just trying to clear salary.
But for this year, like, I don't get
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
why
you're essentially the Dolphins. Essentially, are buying a 5th round draft pick. They're
yes.
buying a 5th round
draft
pick.
And then he has four. He makes $4 million this year. This is week 8. The Dolphins only own $2 million.
Yeah, I mean
the Rams paid him $2 million.
They're buying
already.
A 5th round pick. They're exactly buying a fifth-round pick, and I don't think he'll ever. I don't think he'll ever play a down for the Dolphins.
Well, you can convince him this offseason to come back and work on this rebuild.
I just think you're
you.
Tilting at windmills on that. I think it sounds great because we like the Dolphins.
Yes.
But I don't think Aqib Talib would care. Like, I think there's a lot of other teams that he would be able to choose from when he's a free agent to stick with a team that's ostensibly going to be 0-16 with the notion of we're rebuilding something. I think he's beyond that in his career.
You know what else? Aqib, for 2 years, or a year and a half, because he got traded from Tampa midseason to the Patriots, he knows Brian Flores. Yeah. He knows Patrick Graham. He knows the entire defensive staff of the Dolphins. That probably had something to do with
right.
it, too.
He's like, I don't want to be sitting out there 3-on-3 while y'all are blitzing on 3rd-and-20. Get me the hell off of this defense. You're going to have me out there while 80 of your guys are blitzing on 3rd-and-20 with 25 seconds left in the half?
And get 15 yards off of him, too, so he can guaranteed to catch the ball. Don't put no pressure on him.
What was that? All right, let me give away the code word here. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Time for your chance to win Channing's Change. The word this hour is lunch. Will you go to lunch? If you've seen Glengarry Glen Ross.
Aggressive.
Text the word lunch to 72881, and you have a chance to win $1,000.
That's how y'all hollered at girls back in the day.
And then it says here on the liner.
Go to lunch.
Then it says on the liner, text the word sweep to 72881. So which one do you think it is?
It's lunch for
all
sure.
All right, lunch.
Yeah,
okay.
It's lunch.
Well, don't text the word sweep. Text the word lunch. Do as I say, not as I say. Text the word lunch to 72881. Your next chance to win will be around 3 o'clock. It's a national contest. By the way, at 3 o'clock, Brian Flores scheduled to address the media, and we will air that live. We will air that live at 3 o'clock. Brian Flores, his day-after-game press conference. Again, this is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Text the word lunch to 72881. 72881. Let's get headlines here. I think we talked about the biggest headline, but let's get headlines with our own Alejandro Solana.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
So once again, just in case anybody's just getting in their car or they're just tuning in, the Dolphins have made a trade right upon about 2 hours away from the NFL trade deadline. It's at 4 p.m. Eastern. The Dolphins will receive Aqib Talib and a fifth round draft pick from the LA Rams.
You were asking about why they would do this towards the end of the year. Some people are texting in. This allows them to sign Ramsey before
like
the year ends.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
I
so that it makes sense.
That
now
makes
that
sense.
It makes sense. The Dolphins are buying a fifth round draft pick. The Rams can then sign Ramsey and Aqib Talib can go wherever the hell he pleases next season.
Brian Flores again will speak to the media live 3 p.m. right here on the Hawk and Crowder show. Guys, the national media are criticizing the Dolphins heavily over their what they're calling a blatant tanking defensive possession yesterday in that Pittsburgh Steelers game.
Well, that particular possession was brutal. I'm not certain, and we'll talk to Crowder about it during the show today because he's a defender, and in fact, Gino Toretta's coming on with us. I want to ask him what he would think if he saw 8 guys ostensibly poised for a blitz, knowing that you had 3rd-and-20. And, I imagine a quarterback's eyes would light up. O.J. McDuffie's going to join us later today. I'm sure he'd love to be, lined up out wide and looking and like, am I seeing this right?
He's covering me, that guy back there.
What about everyone else is going that way and I'm running this way?
20 yards away from me.
That one play could. Now, Brian Flores, I watched the postgame press conference last night. He doesn't back off it.
No. Said no regrets were his exact
No regrets. He's got a no regrets tattoo on his neck.
They ate off that same blitz 4 times prior.
But on 3rd-and-20 with 25 seconds or so left in the half, that's the part that I don't understand. You have to give that blitz context to me. And because if you run that blitz, I don't have a problem running a blitz 3rd-and-20 if there's 8 minutes left in a quarter. But it's stop them and hold them to a field goal or hold them out of the end. Like, I'm confused by it. I really am.
That was their game plan was to send 8 on 3rd-and-long. And they did it on 3rd-and-7 and 8, and it worked because there was routes to get 7 or 8. Then they got into the 3rd-and-20 stuff. They still sent it. It's cover 0. There's no safeties. There's no help.
You've got to get to the quarterback.
Everybody's butt naked. It's a race to the quarterback. There was a wide-open blitzer off the edge, but they knew what was coming because the Dolphins ran that blitz three times before that, and they knew exactly what was coming. Every time the Dolphins stood up where there was nobody with their hand in the
dirt. There's a fire alarm going off in here, and I feel like that's what happened when the Dolphins lined up for the blitz. I feel like it was just like, whoop, whoop. Here we go.
It did.
Here we go.
Mason Rudolph knew exactly where to go with the ball. They knew exactly who to throw it to because they saw the blitz three times or four times before
that. Someone had the wrong angle. I forget who it was, but, I mean, it was just.
Xavier was.
Was it Xavier? It was Xavier.
He was a little lazy on that.
Yeah.
The guy caught the ball. He started jogging across the field.
And then before he knew it, it was like, hey.
This guy.
Where's everyone behind me?
And then my man Needham. Did you watch him at the end of the play? He was the one standing on the goal line that got ejected.
So Nick Needham, if you remember correctly, during preseason was pressed into duty all the time and got burned consistently during preseason. And it has not stopped during regular season.
Got to get his pads down.
What else you got there, Solana?
I'll just say this. I know you're a professional football player, Crowder, but I'm 21-17 online record right now in Madden 20. 3rd and 20. You never do engage 8. That's engage 8.
You know
Madden.
What? It's really engage 8.
You never do engage 8. I'm 21-17 online record.
We're going to talk with Solana about this later in the program.
Engage 8's a zone, though. I know exactly what you're talking about. That's the zone.
It's three safety.
We
deep.
Were engage 8 man, which is
even worse.
I'll be honest, because a crosser, the other guys are covering their guys. Like, Xavier had no chance of catching that dude.
Yeah.
It was a bad call.
And so what's your record again?
But it was a good
21-17.
21-17.
But listen, the first four times they run it, it was a good call. Great call off the field, third down. Great call off the field, third down. Great call off the field, third down. Okay, let's call it again. They went to the well too many times.
Okay, but with the context of there being very few seconds left in the first half. Wouldn't you throttle that back there and say, yeah, let's hold them to a 10 or 15-yard gain. So maybe they're in field goal range, but.
Hawk, I'm with you. Me personally,
right.
Cover 4, drop everybody deep, let them dump the ball down low, come up, make the tackle, kick a field goal, you're off the, you know, you get them 3 and you're off the field. Like, I'm with you 100%. I'm just telling you how Patrick Graham and Flores saw it. They don't know how to block this.
Right, and we're 0-7 or 0-6, whatever they were. Let's be aggressive.
Let's go get them.
Yeah, I understand that. Anything else in the headline, Solana?
Yeah, really quickly, it is FSU week. Manny Diaz said they're optimistic DJ Dallas will be available for Saturday. He's dealing with some injuries.
Very good.
Jeff Thomas is activated. He will be available for Saturday as well. Tonight, Heat Hawks, 7:30. Jimmy Butler will play. Deion Waiters is reinstated, but he will not play tonight.
Right. I think we may have a better chance of seeing Aqib Talib in a Dolphins uniform before the season's out than seeing Deion Waiters in a Heat uniform.
He gone.
And finally, this is some big news as well. Knoxbury Farm is officially open for business down in Homestead. So
that
go, get your,
cinnamon
go
rolls.
Get your cinnamon roll.
Oh, close.
So good. They have season.
Oh.
So it started today. And there will be a whole bunch of people that are going to text in Knott's Berry Farm because people listen on the app. It's Knoxbury Farm. Knoxbury Farm. In L.A., it's Knott's Berry Farm. In Homestead, Knoxbury Farm. We got to get to 15 minutes of heat. Gino Toretta is going to join us today. O.J. McDuffie is going to join us today. O.J. McDuffie, by the way, is going into the Broward County Sports Hall of Fame tonight. He is being inducted tonight.
That's cool.
Very cool. And I do want to talk to him about that blitz on 3rd and 20. And I actually want to talk to Gino about it too.
Yeah.
I mean, and it is UMFSU week. So, we are loaded down, but we do 15 minutes of heat every day around 2:15. And is Andre Aldridge going to join us?
He is.
Andre Aldridge, veteran NBA reporter. He's the sideline reporter for the Atlanta Hawks. And the Hawks are in town tonight to face the Miami Heat. So we'll talk with Andre Aldridge in our 15 minutes of heat here in a moment.
All y'all boaters out there like me, you know the hassle of trying to find the right place to keep your boat looking good all the time, but you don't want to break the bank. I have the solution. I helped y'all out. I found it for y'all. You got to go holler at my friend at R&M Marine Supplies. They have it all. R&M carries every paint pigment, gel coats with or without wax, bottom paints, all sort of interior and exterior waxes. They have it all. But the best part about R&M is the knowledge and experience that Marty will bring to you and honestly brings to me that will get your boat looking great all the time. If I dink my boat, hit my boat, if I break a little something off of it, you know, all, you know, boaters, y'all know how it is. I send a picture to Marty, tell him, hey, man, this is what happened. He'll have a box ready for me with everything I need to fix it and step-by-step instructions on how to fix it myself. Saving money but getting that boat looking great. They carry all types of fiberglass products, washes and waxes. But if you're looking for that knowledge to handle those boat maintenance projects and keep that boat tip-top shape, you want your boat beautiful, go holler at Marty at R&M Marine Supplies, 3350 Northwest South River Drive in Miami. It's right by the Miami International Airport. Give Marty a call. He's like my uncle. He's like my uncle that's been working on boats his whole life. Anytime something goes wrong, I call Marty at 305-634-6767. You should too. 305-634-6767. He will walk you through any project step by step and have that boat looking awesome. Visit them online on Facebook and online at rnmmarinesupply.com. For everything to keep your boat looking great and the knowledge to do it, visit R&M Marine Supplies.
All right, we'll talk 15 minutes of heat. Heat and Hawks tonight at the American Airlines Arena. Andre Aldridge, sideline reporter for the Atlanta Hawks. He will join us next.
You want to see Loco?
Do a little 15 minutes of heat here.
Just for Andre?
What a man.
I want to talk with him now.
I was texting with Jason Jackson earlier today. He's like, yeah, my guy Dre.
Okay.
He'll throw it down. So okay. Maybe this is for Andre.
Pull salt and pepper. Now I'm a fool with him.
15 minutes of heat. Heat hosts the Hawks tonight at the American Airlines Arena. Then the Hawks host the Heat Thursday night in Atlanta. So you got one of those kind of back-to-backs with a night in between. And we're going to go out to the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest line, where they are truly steps beyond convenience. Andre Aldridge is a veteran NBA reporter. He's the current sideline reporter and host for the Atlanta Hawks. And you've probably seen him over the years, NBA TV and ESPN and whatnot. And you can catch him on Fox Sports Southeast if you've got the package for the Atlanta Hawks broadcasts, and he is with us right now. Hello, Andre.
Hey, man, great to be on with you guys. How you doing?
Was that the appropriate song? What a man! Did we nail it?
Well, I'm gonna be honest from the top. There's some of my people back home. They don't want me on the show with Channing because Channing knocked heads in high school and then didn't stay in state to go to college.
Ooh, so look at that. Let's go. Georgia. Let's do this now.
Let's forget about the NFL. There's folks back in Georgia still a little bit heated that a guy could knock heads, you know, and be an all-state guy, and then he doesn't stay in the Peach State and decides to become a Gator. So there's that, but I still came on.
Let's address the elephant in the room, Crowder.
But Andre, man, them UGA sponsors got to come a little stronger now.
Okay,
those Bull Gators were off the chain.
End of discussion. Okay, I'm not mad at you.
No, but he was going to go to Georgia.
No,
he was.
I was committed to UGA for 3 weeks when Spurrier left and went to the Redskins, but then I love Charlie Strong. I went to UF to play for Charlie Strong because I love Charlie Strong.
I got you.
But I was not going to South Carolina. When Zook brought him to Florida, that's what made me change.
Uh-huh. Okay, all right. That's legit. That's legit.
But man, Crowder's.
I've heard of the Gators changing some other people's minds. So I can never get the full story. But that's a great story right there.
Appreciate it,
Crowder. Tell some great stories about Atlanta though, and growing up.
More off-air stuff, Andre.
I'm not mad.
Andre Aldridge is with us, and again, sideline reporter for the Atlanta Hawks television broadcast. So your Hawks and our Heat, both 2-1 to start their respective seasons. What have you learned about the Hawks in the first three games? I have fallen in love with Trae Young. What have you learned?
Well, you know, the interesting thing to watch, and obviously you've been served in a sense on both sides, although you guys will have the debut of a legit NBA star in Jimmy Butler tonight. But to take you back to last season, and sure, Trae comes in with all the accolades and all of the news from college. But as far as our team is concerned and his individual play, the first 30 games of last season was a real question mark for both, and a lot of those games were 20 and 25 points, definitely double digit deficits for a good part of many of those games, and Trae was still trying to figure everything out. First game of last season, we're in New York, Madison Square Garden, and the Knicks blitz him right away, and it's like, oh, it's going to be like this. Yes, it's going to be like this. But a light went off about 30 games in, and the team became competitive. He raised his game. The vets around that team were always solidly behind him. And to watch what he's done so far, albeit in three games this season, the sky's the limit for a kid who's only played 85 games in the NBA.
And, Andre, what's the realistic expectations for this team? Because the East isn't that strong. There's some, you know, it's top-heavy. But you look at the Jabari Parker, Chandler Parsons, Cam Reddish. They have some young guys. They have some vets. Like, what is the realistic expectation for the Atlanta Hawks?
I think coming into the season, realistically, you have to say that you're strong on the second year of the rebuild. And so you wouldn't want to say playoffs, despite how the East looks and despite Kawhi going out west or anything, out loud. But to be around these guys and to see how competitive that locker room is, I think they have real plans on somehow getting in there. Now, look, just like you guys, when I say youth, I mean – we're starting two rookies. That hasn't happened in about 40 years for the Hawks. Reddish is 20. DeAndre Hunter's 21. Trey Young's 21. The pride of West Palm Beach, John Collins, is 22. Our oldest starter is Alex Lynn, who's 26. So the fact that you have that youth, and I realize that Miami's starting a 19-year-old and Tyler Hero, too, I really believe that the positivity from our side is much better and much bigger than we thought it was during the offseason.
You do have 42-year-old Vince Carter, though, on the roster.
And he's one of seven top 10 picks on the squad. So even though that's from the 89 draft, look, the basketball IQ, regardless of what guys have done, I mean, you mentioned Jabari Parker, sure, on his fifth team. And Jabari Parker is still only 24 years old, so maybe he has the toolkit of a 15-year vet with two torn ACLs and the trades and the expectations of being a high pick. But I think all these guys are feeding off of Vince Carter. Vince isn't just like a coach on the bench. The last 5 minutes of the last two games, he's out there for a good reason because he can still play.
I was going to say that. I watched the game Saturday night. I may have had a little bit of action on it, but I watched the game Saturday night.
Have.
Vince Carter was out there playing quality minutes at the end. Like, he was really giving you something.
You know, it's funny because a few years ago we had Elton Brand. And if you want to have an all-world, just great guy team that nobody says anything bad about over a 20-year period, Elton might be the captain of that team. But Vince is pretty much on there too. And even though it was toward the end of the career, because of injuries, Elton ended up playing way more than he expected. And as he would tell us off camera, this is hurting me a little bit, guys. But, you know, I have to do this for my team, but that's not the plan. Vince is the other way. Vince is like, I feel like I can play, so I want to play. And if the opportunity is there from the coach, I'm going to get out there and do it. And I think that's what you saw Saturday night. That's also what we saw in Detroit.
Andre Aldridge is with us. 15 minutes of Heat. Again, Heat hosts the Hawks tonight at the American Airlines Arena, and then they will be in Atlanta on Thursday night. Same two teams matching up. Like you said, tonight we're going to see the debut of Jimmy Butler in a Miami Heat uniform. In your mind, what is he? Top 15 player in the league? Is that fair?
Absolutely.
So he brings what? Like, he is, I mean, for us down here, we talk about the Heat DNA, Heat culture all the time. I think he is the epitome of what the Heat is all about.
But I think you can put that on a 18-inch banner headline right there. That's absolutely true. You know, you talk about his game and everything he does. Let's think back to maybe the biggest story of last year was that practice in Minnesota that he supposedly disrupted and dominated because he was trying to get out of there. And for all the headline news that kind of generated over a 3 or 4 day period, it wasn't until Jimmy himself talked about it and said, I actually didn't take a shot in that practice. And that wasn't what was coming out of there, but he did still dominate everything up there without taking a shot in that practice pretty much. Because of all the swag that he brings to the floor. And I think that's perfect. And also, you know, I'm talking about the youth on our side. Granted, our season's 2 or 3 games long so far, but you guys have 31% of your total points coming from the rookies. That's the biggest number in the league so far. And when we're down here in a preseason game, Bam Adebayo played all games last season. But for me, those are the type of guys that you say – buy into what this is all about, what your culture is all about down here. And I believe his numbers through a couple of games, he's among like five other guys that are averaging 15 points, 10 boards, and five assists. And there's only five others in the league who are doing that. Granted, it's two or three games. But I just think that and your culture, and then you put in a legit superstar like Jimmy Butler, the sky really is the limit here in the East for your squad because you do have that superstar player.
And Dre, talking about young guys that are kind of coming out, Kendrick Nunn, like Tyler Hero was the high pick, but Kendrick Nunn right now, 25, 18, 24 in the first three games, he's balling. But it was interesting, you brought up Trae Young and how you said the NBA kind of figured him out. They started blitzing him, and yes, he had to adjust to that. Mm-hmm. Is that going to happen soon to Kendrick Nunn? Are they going to figure him out and he's going to have to start adjusting his game?
Man, I know that he'll be a big part of scouting reports, but I don't how. And his minutes will obviously be adjusted for everybody with Jimmy coming back. But how do you do that when Jimmy Butler's on that squad? I don't know. I think that's a tough question for the opposition if he continues to do what they do. And so, Channing, you know, as a pro athlete or even the success you had in high school and in college, it's great to have all of that behind you. But when you're between the lines, that really doesn't matter if you're going up against determined guys, if you're going up against guys that weren't drafted or guys that, you know, think they should be there and feel like they've been slighted forever and they just start proving it. There's nothing you can do about that but compete. And what we've seen from Nunn is a guy that obviously loves to compete and has been very proficient so far.
Andre Aldridge, again, tonight it's Heat and Hawks at the American Airlines Arena. Thursday night, Heat and Hawks up in Atlanta. And Andre Aldridge, you can watch him all season on Fox Sports Southeast, where he is the sideline reporter for the Atlanta Hawks.
Andre, they still love me at Magic City, though, man.
I know they do, and me and you and Chandler Parsons are going to get together, and you're going to tell me Gator stories that are going to blow my mind.
I got you, baby.
you don't know the half of it. Andre, you don't know the half of it. Thanks for making time for us, Andre.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great afternoon.
There you go. Do the same. That's Andre Aldridge from the Atlanta Hawks Television Network, and that is your 15 minutes of Heat. There is some breaking news I saw from Ian Rappaport. Dolphins' Xavien Howard is headed to injured reserve.
Excuse me, what happened?
After sustaining a knee injury last night. It's not an ACL or MCL, but the team will be cautious as he is part of their future. He also just locked up, obviously, that long-term deal prior to the season. But he is headed to injured reserve, which anyone that's worth anything on the Dolphins really should be wrapped in bubble wrap and put into storage.
Oh.
Forget about injured reserve. I mean, honestly, you should go get one of those storage units, air-conditioned, of course, at public storage,
yes,
right? And you bubble wrap Xavien Howard and you stack them next to a lamp. And who else, though? You don't need a big storage container.
Patrick Laird.
Patrick Laird, of course. How dare I forget him?
I wonder if these other DBs know what's about to happen. It's about to be an air raid.
Well, I kind of got a taste of what's going to happen last night when Xavien was out. I got a pretty good taste of what's going to happen.
So we have five mismatches, huh? Yeah, let's throw the ball.
Sam Darnold is licking his lips, man. Of course, last time he did that, he got mono.
He better not lick
give
that
it to
nose.
Me. Go ahead. Give it to me. The rim shot. Anybody? No?
Yeah.
The rim shot in 2019 is the Turner Davidson laugh.
Yeah.
That's for the season.
All right. I would imagine. All right. Gino Toretta is going to join us next. We have a lot of Dolphins and Canes to talk about. Today is a loaded potato. Gino Toretta is next.
When it comes to tailgating, Publix always rises to the occasion. And this football season, they pulled out all the stops. First, I got to tell you about the Publix Ultimate Tailgate Party. Every Dolphin home game coming up this Sunday against the Jets. South and Southeast Corner Hard Rock Stadium is the ultimate Publix tailgate party. Food, we have a DJ, we have drinks, we have a good time, we have games. Come out there and see how a tailgate is really supposed to be at the Publix Ultimate Tailgate Party, south and southeast corner of Hard Rock Stadium, and the Miami Dolphin Pub Sub is the second thing. It is delicious. You gotta go to any Publix and try it. It has crispy chicken tenders, boar's head bacon, lettuce, tomatoes, cheddar cheese, and garlic parmesan sauce. It is delicious, and you can set off any tailgates with the Miami Dolphin Pub Sub, but you've been going to Publix your whole life. You know about those subs. They're always delicious. delicious. The fried chicken, the rotisserie chicken, the chicken wings, those hot wings, I love them. They have platters that feed dozens, beer, ice, chips, sides, snacks. They have it all at Publix. And I love to tell the moms and dads about this one because it changed my life. Busy moms, busy dads, Publix will deliver. Publix.com. Order all your tailgating needs so I can work Monday through Friday. Saturday morning, I hang with the kids. But on Saturday night, I want to, you know, I want to have a watch party. I want to invite some people over. Publix will deliver the watch party needs, deliver your tailgating needs so that you can enjoy your family and also enjoy the game. Find all your tailgating needs at Publix, where shopping is a pleasure.
All right, we'll talk with Gino Toretta next on Hockman and Crowder.
You want to see Loco?
Xavien Howard is on IR. Aqib Talib is a member of the Dolphins, inexplicably.
And he's on IR.
And he's on IR. They'll say hello to each other. Is there a place you go? Is it like a penalty box?
No, no. There's no IR area.
There's not like an island or something? Like Revis Island?
They point him in a different direction in the parking lot.
Oh, you
lot.
Go there.
IR left. Active players right.
You show your pass as you pull in. Yeah, we're going to need you over there, buddy. Sorry. Over there?
Yeah. You're park right. on the shoulder.
And then you got the Dolphins last night, and it's Dolphins Jets week this week as well, but it's also Miami FSU week. This is, I mean, the proverbial loaded potato of a sports week, but you suck it in when you've got it, man, because this is one of those weeks. Gino Toretta is the Heisman Trophy winner. We love talking Canes football with him. Always have him on for UMFSU week and a lot of other weeks as well, and he's with us now. Hello, Gino.
Big game week. No
this
school.
A big game week. Big game week. This is a big game
big
week,
game
Gino.
Week. Big game.
You no classes. It? Classes have been canceled.
That's right. Classes have been canceled.
Both teams 4-4?
The FSU is like a 4.5-point favorite over Miami. Do you think that line is right?
Oh, I have no idea. I didn't think that we were favored over Virginia line was right. Apparently it was. We won that one.
It's hard to get a beat on this team, right? I mean, you don't know if I had told you against Georgia Tech that they were going to win by 30 or lose by 12, or if I had told you last week they were going to win by 15 at Pitt or they were going to lose by 15, like you cannot get a beat on this team, right?
Well, at least the Georgia Tech game, we were there for the 89 reunion, and they had breakdowns all over the place. They had breakdowns on special teams, breakdowns on offense, and breakdowns on defense. Normally, when you're playing, or at least you watch a team, you see what their weaknesses are in certain areas, but they've seemed to, I guess, come up with new ones each and every week and not been improving, I guess, in certain areas.
It's down, by the way, to 3.5. I just looked. Miami's a 3.5-point underdog. I mean, Florida State, they're kind of like Miami, right? You've seen flashes from them, and then at times they just look completely inept.
I don't know. I saw a double reverse pass. I mean, they're playing high school ball up there in Tallahassee right now, apparently.
Got to do anything to move the ball.
Whatever it takes, ain't it? Gino, are the games?
I don't know. I got to ask Channing this. I mean, like the Georgia Tech game, Channing. Do you run a reverse inside the 15?
There's no space.
What's that?
There's no space to do it. Like, there's nobody moving around.
That's what I thought. Don't you create a reverse for over pursuit? But if you're on the 10, you don't have the vertical space behind you, so you don't have to overplay anybody.
I'm
100%
with you.
They're just been head scratchers all season.
Are they getting better, Gino? As you watch this Cane team, you're supposed to get better throughout the season. Even the Dolphins are competing more throughout, longer in the game. Are the Canes getting better?
I would hope so. I haven't watched every single game. I would hope so. I think that in some areas they get better, and then other ones they don't hold where they were. Yeah. So I guess as a whole, I would probably say then that's not. Then that's generally not good. I mean, the special teams breakdown against Georgia Tech just by not covering the gunner guy on the end zone. That was the longest pass play I think Georgia Tech's history in about the last 20 years since before Paul Johnson was there.
Boring Paul Johnson.
Hate Paul Johnson.
I got my Paul Johnson story.
Hey, that was I remember broadcasting a game. I give you how bad Georgia Tech's offense has been over the years. I remember broadcasting a Georgia Tech game. I don't know who they were playing. Chan Gailey was their head coach, and they had Calvin Johnson as a wide receiver, and Reggie Ball was their quarterback. And he literally told us in the meetings before the game, we're going to use Calvin Johnson as a decoy. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, they can't cover him in the NFL. Why? I mean, I wouldn't understand why you would ever use Calvin Johnson as a decoy, but they did.
I never understood that when I saw that. Why did Calvin Johnson go to Georgia Tech when they ran that option? Like, why? It didn't make any sense as a receiver, right?
Yeah, he's from up there.
But you know you're not going to get the ball.
Well, you know, he wanted to stay home and play in front of mom and dad, I guess. I don't know. I mean, he was going to the league anyway.
Right.
His hands were like 15 inches long.
Right.
Man, he was just a freak of an athlete.
So it's like, I'll just jog on Saturday afternoons. I'll take my scholarship. I'll jog on Saturday afternoons. I'm going to the league.
But on the other side, they're going to have to stack the box to stop the run. I'm going to have one-on-ones outside.
But if they don't even look to throw it, I mean.
I'm with you. If Calvin was my son, there's no way in the hell you're going to Georgia Tech, son.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Gino Toretta is with us, the Heisman Trophy winner. Is there a better week than UMFSU week? And I understand, obviously, when they're both 4-4 and mired in disappointing seasons, it's not as much fun as 87, 88, 89, 90, 91. But UMFSU week is the most special week?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, this rivals, I mean, we didn't play Notre Dame every year, but this is the one, at least when I was in school, the national championship ran through. You know, whoever won this game had the inside track at the championship. I think that you know, no matter, you know, they're not undefeated, obviously, right now, but there's still the state, in-state recruiting is going to be helped by, you know, by the game and who wins the game and who, you know, who shows some promise. So I don't think there's any question that the importance of this game to us and to them is huge. And these guys, you know, I just remember not really understanding it until playing in the first game. Is all these guys played against each other since Pop Warner. I mean, they've been talking smack to each other since they were 6, 7 years old. And, it's a big deal because it's always, you know, in their lives. You talked about, hey, where'd you go and who won the game?
Unfortunately, I think the in-state recruiting is going to be won by my radio co-hosts. My radio co-hosts team here. I think they've got a pretty easy recruiting posture if somebody wants to go in the state of Florida
right
now.
Get them, Mullen!
Unfortunately.
Lots of early opportunities down in South Florida, though.
Gino Toretta is with us. What about Jaren Williams and Nikosi Perry? Is there a quarterback that stands out to you as head and shoulders above the other?
You know, I think they've both done some good things at times. I think that, you know, with Jaren being hurt, you know, and then get pulled, then go back in, back and forth. Now they're not saying who's the quarterback. You know, that's kind of concerning. I think that Perry improved from last season. I think Jaren's done well when he's been out there, when he's gotten time. I mean, I think that, you know, we gotta give either one of them time to throw the ball and open up some lanes for the running game. It's not a one-man show like basketball where you can just dominate out there without the help of others.
And Gino, talking about, you know, having time, because we know the offensive line struggles, but I hear the argument a lot where you got to start Nikosi because he's more agile. You know, he moves better than Jaren. Do you pick a quarterback off having a bad line where, hey, he's going to have to run, so let's pick the runner? Shouldn't you pick it off who's the best quarterback, who's going to deliver the ball the best? Like, why would you pick it off who can run the best behind a bad line? That don't make sense to me.
That would I would agree with you, Channing. I think that would be setting yourself up for failure. It would be if I'm the offense coordinator, who are my best 11, and what can I do with that best 11? You know, like, you know, I thought when we played you guys at the start of the year, you got two guys on your D line that are, you know, they're legit, you know, Sunday starters and stars for that matter. They can't be blocked. So what do you do when you're facing guys like that? You've got to throw the ball quickly. You got to take 3-step drops. You got to just try to make them tired. Maybe cut them a few times in screens and draws and things like that to where they don't want to rush your quarterback. But get the 11 that you feel are your best and whatever personnel grouping that is, create your offense for that. But I don't think you say, hey, our O-line's not going to give much time. Let's put Doug Flutie back there so he can run around and scramble. That's not exactly your recipe for success.
You talk about a for sure Sunday starter. Who on the Hurricanes? Is it Brevin Jordan? Is that your only for sure Sunday starter on that roster?
Oh, I think Jordan's a beast. I think Jeff Thomas is a beast. I mean, Jeff Thomas has got, you know, just game-changing speed. And I think that, no matter what anybody tells you in any sport, you can't teach speed. And he's got issues.
I mean, he was going to leave under Mark Richt, and then Manny Diaz talked him into coming back, and he was suspended last game. He's going to be back for the FSU game. But, I mean, he's got issues. That's the only thing that could hold him back, yeah?
You asked me who has the talent to play on Sundays. Jeff Thomas has the talent to play on Sundays. The other stuff is more of, okay, where are you going to draft him? Same thing, guy's drafted in the first round. He's got no issues. Guy gets knocked to the fifth round. Maybe he had some issues, but he's still got first-round talent.
Gino Toretta is with us. So do you have a prediction for Saturday? I mean, let's go. Let's amp it up for the Canes here a little bit.
Canes all the way. Let's hope we can score more than 17.
The swagger is oozing out of all Gino Toretta's pores.
That's what you call that?
The phone line can barely contain Gino Toretta's swagger.
I guess.
It's one of those seasons, Gino. It's just one of those seasons, right? I mean, you would give Manny Diaz what letter grade through 8 games?
Incomplete, because the season's not over.
Yeah. Well, what's he trending towards?
Midterm grade. What's his midterm grade?
This is a parent-teacher conference, and I want to know how my son is doing.
Okay, Mr. Hockman, your son's grade is heavily weighted to the end of the season, so he doesn't have a grade right now.
All right. But you think
we'll see how he does. We'll see how he does on the FCAT. But if he gets a 5, we'll give him an A.
I mean, if he beats FSU, right? I mean, that's a pretty that's an exam.
But
that's
this FSU team?
Yeah, Jack. don't diminish this game, no sir.
Will he tag
it? That's a good step. That's a good step. I mean, you make a bowl game. Make a bowl game, win a bowl game.
Yeah.
You can only do what you can do in front of it. You know, what's in front of you. Win today and worry about tomorrow after.
Oh, right. There you go. We talked about bowl games last week, and you had, they're just going to the Pinstripe Bowl. Nobody, we're UM, dun-dun-dun. Now y'all talking about just sneaking into a bowl?
Yeah, win a bowl game. Gino just said it.
Look at you.
Man, that's our slogan. Make a bowl game, win a bowl game.
Slogan.
Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner. Thanks, Gino.
All right, guys.
Always love talking with Gino. That is Gino Toretta. UMFSU week. The swagger is oozing out of all of us. Brian Flores has his press conference in about 10 minutes. We're going to air it live. Xavien Howard has been placed on IR. The Dolphins have traded for Aqib Talib. They blitzed 8. On 3rd and 20, 25 seconds to go last night. Brian Flores has a lot of talking to do today, and so we're going to hear from him in about 10 minutes. You've been hearing me talk about Cameron Hughes wine on the radio show for a while, and in fact, I handed out some bottles of Cameron Hughes wine today. I gave Solana a bottle, Dan Day a bottle, Michelle and Cynthia in traffic a bottle, because I got to share this with my friends. It is so darn good. Cameron Hughes Wine, such a brilliant business model. They source the top-rated wines directly from the best wineries. The best wineries overproduce wines, but then they don't bottle it all. They only bottle a select few. That's how they keep their prices high. Cameron Hughes gets these top wines, sells them under his own label for a fraction of the price. I'm talking luxury wines at affordable prices. For example, you hop on chwine.com, get a bottle of Lot 689, a Sonoma Valley Chardonnay, a smooth, easy-drinking white wine that pairs with basically any meal. Also has a 5-star review average, was just awarded 91 points and a gold medal from the Sommelier Challenge. So there's an incredible offer right now. 20% off and free shipping on three or more bottles. All you have to do is enter my code Hochman when you're checking out. You go to chwine.com right now. Get 20% off the already wonderful prices and free shipping when you buy three or more bottles. Just enter the code Hochman at checkout. That's H-O-C-H-M-A-N. Go to chwine.com. Enter the code Hochman for 20% off three bottles or more, plus free shipping. It's fantastic wine delivered right to your door. Brian Flores, Dolphins head coach, press conference coming up in moments. We will carry it live right here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.